Keegan. That was the highest pitched high.
Hi! Hi! Hi, I'm Keegan!
Oh, God.
Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
I was about to say My Angry Neighborhood Feminist, and then I was just like, that's not it.
Keegan, that's not what our podcast is called.
I know. I should know this.
I should have reminded you before the episode. It's my fault. Keegan, this is
it
what it's
is
called.
Your fault.
Okay,
I'm sorry. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives, and today is a very special, very fun episode, I think.
I'm so excited.
I mean, it won't be all fun, but it will be very informative, and I think I'm really excited to do this episode.
Yeah, it's all about the whole goal of our podcast, which is to create a community and to tell people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's gonna be a great thing that's gonna come out of this episode. We, as you probably know, if you follow us on social media, this week we are reading your coming out stories.
Yes. Sorry, I took a drink of my Greyhound and was not ready. Yes, we are going to read your stories today. We have gotten the response to this, I think, has been super awesome.
Way more than I thought.
Me too.
Way more than I thought. Yet I think we're going to be able to tell everybody's stories that we got.
Yeah, I think so too. And we'll chat a little bit about the stories. But I love that we also got such a wide variety of stories. Mm-hmm. We got positive stories. We got sad stories. You know,
we got stories from different spectrums of the LGBTQ plus community, too,
yes.
Which I think is great. It wasn't all one type of experience.
Yeah. And I'm super, super stoked about that.
And can I just say again how flattered I am that we have so many, like, listeners and fans, I guess, that are part of this community.
Calling them fans makes me feel so weird.
Right. Like, well, okay, yeah. Listeners.
Yes.
People that like us.
Yes.
People that like
people
us.
People who tune in and enjoy what we do.
Yes, not fans.
No, they can be
because
fans, but it just makes me feel weird.
I know. Because we are people who try very hard to be inclusive and not to be biased, I guess. We try to explore other, you know, parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We are two cisgendered female people. So the fact that we have so many people in the LGBTQ plus community that tune in and listen to us and like us and want to be a part of this makes me feel like I won some sort of, like, cool person contest.
Yeah, it's super flattering. Like, it's super flattering because I know, especially when we do things like this, like tackling Pride Month, both of us being cisgender, hetero women, it was really intimidating. It was kind of like a scary thing to take on because I don't want to do anything that's insensitive or offensive or accidentally step on toes where I shouldn't. And I've really, really appreciated the outpouring of, like, love and support and appreciation. Like, people are really happy that we did do that this month. So I mean,
we wouldn't, in my opinion, we wouldn't be a feminist podcast if we didn't treat this
Agreed.
Month the same as we did with Women's Month, Black History Month.
Agreed.
We wouldn't be doing people justice.
Yeah, I think ignoring. So. I think the same thing, you know, and I'm just so glad that it's gone over well. It's been a great Pride Month.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is just the best way to kind of, like, cap off Pride Month.
I agree.
You know,
I totally agree. So, do you want to start or should I start? I've got a short one.
Okay, why don't you start then? And I will go after you.
Okay, this is a quick one. I came out to my mom this month on Bi Pride Day, and she was so sweet about it. A lot of my family is LGBT+, so I wasn't scared telling her. She said she loved me no matter what and that she had a meeting, so she had to leave. Crying so hard, I'm laughing face. My friend of 10 years was sitting next to me, cheering me on the whole time. It was great. I love that. It was so simple. It was so get on with your day, get on with your life. Like,
I think that's
okay,
what we all strive for, right? Like,
yeah.
That's what we're aiming for. We're aiming for it to get to a place where it is just kind of like a, okay, and now I'm going to work and, you know, love you, bye.
Okay, love you, but I gotta go do this thing.
Yeah. I think that is, like, at the end of the day, that's what we all want. We don't want it to have to be this, like, big, dramatic, you know, scary thing. It can be a celebration or it can just be a, okay, that's who you are and kind of move on, you know?
Yep.
I think that that's great and touching.
Yeah.
and lovely. And I think I want to say for this episode, we have chosen not to do names.
Yeah.
We will inform everyone whose stories we are reading that we are reading their stories this week so they know to tune in. And if you want other people to listen to your story, you know, we would love to have them as listeners. So please ask them to tune in as well. But we did get a number of people who wanted to remain anonymous, and we didn't want to, you know, just infringe on anyone's privacy.
We don't want to out anybody.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a hard
It's not
no.
our place. So we are going to do no names. And if you so choose, then, you know, go ahead and tell people to listen in.
Exactly.
Okay. So I've got the next one here. Hey, so I don't usually do this sort of thing because it feels stupid. It feels dumb. But, and I know I'm young, I think this story kind of matters. It happened when my family was discussing why there should be an LGBT community, but instead of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans, it should be LGBTH, H being for heterosexual. Mm. Mm-hmm. For some reason, closeted me was just so angry. So I flipped out, I ran to my room. When my sister came to check on me, instead of saying, that's offensive and mocky of them, them being the LGBT community, I said, us. That was the moment I came out to my sister and to myself, saying us. Because, yeah, it was us. It is us against anger and hate and bigotry. Later, as I came out as bisexual, I heard it all. You're confused. Just choose / if you had to choose.
Oh, God.
It's a phase. But nah. Why would I listen to it? It's like having weights. Weights that every day make you want to hide in the closet. To hide yourself. And that's why, at least to me, the hardest part was not coming out to others, but to yourself. Accepting something that you're not really sure about. Loving a part of you that you have never known. Knowing how to live and enjoy the world that you don't have a map in. Yeah, it sucks not having supportive people, but it sucks more when you are that person. So my biggest hurdle was me. Me loving me. Me changing. Me growing and seeing that side of myself that has always been there but buried and hidden. And goddamn, I'm so happy and free and beautiful and loved by so many, including me. I think that that is such a beautiful message to get across, is that, like, it sucks and it's hard to come out to your family or maybe face judgment from the people in your life, but I think what people sometimes don't realize when they make it all about themselves and their own feelings, when other people come out and they don't know how to feel about it, that person has probably been struggling with not knowing how to feel about it for a really long time.
Right, and I feel like especially with bisexuality, it's easy to possibly talk yourself out of it because
agreed.
You still have feelings for the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
You still have that quote-unquote normal, you know, societal thing where you're like, well, I still like guys, so maybe these feelings for girls that I have aren't real and just, you know, maybe
right,
you think
or like
you're just
maybe,
going through something.
Maybe
or,
if I can just push it down and, like, push my feelings for women down.
Well, it's like, well, I still like guys.
Uh-huh,
so maybe
until
I'll
you
just
find
keep,
the right guy.
Yeah, exactly. So I understand that for a lot of bisexual people, that's something that's really complicated. And I think it's amazing and important that you're talking about the fact that it's not about coming out to other people, but it's about accepting and coming out to yourself and having that self-respect so that it doesn't matter what other people say. It's about what you feel.
Yeah, and I think she also touched on something really important that we should talk about, and that is people who are not a member of a marginalized community feeling like they need to insert themselves into that community. Like, feeling like you need to add an H, or feeling like, it's the same thing that I felt whenever white people are like, we need a White History Month, where it's like,
or
this
we
isn't...
need a, instead of BET, like, we need, like, a
WET, white entertainment.
Let's watch some
television.
Wet.
Yeah, it's like, this isn't for you. Like, this is specifically for people of this group, and it's disrespectful for you to come in and claim ownership over something that is not meant for you because you haven't struggled in the
same way.
You
don't need to be a part of it.
And you're a part of literally everything else, you know?
I mean, it's something that I definitely was confused about when I was younger, like, why is there a black entertainment television and
of
not
course.
Because it's something for me because I never had to think about it being a young girl. That wasn't my experience. So it took educating myself and having my family educate me to understand. So I think that, you know, hopefully your family is more and more supportive of you all the time, and hopefully you can be that beacon of education for them to be able to see their privilege mm-hmm. and understand why they don't have to be part of that themselves, but that they can be a part of that community by supporting you.
Yeah, and I would be really curious also to know, because she doesn't really go into how her sister reacted or how her family reacted.
Yeah.
I would really hope that they were supportive and, you know, loving towards her, but it is also really awesome that the main thing that she notes is that, like, their reaction wasn't important. What was important was my realization and the way that I handled it yeah. within myself and feeling comfortable and proud of who I am as a person.
Yeah, so, and having that.
So thank you for writing in.
Thank you, thank you. That was a really great story. All right, I'm going to go again. So this person, I cut out kind of the intro part of it. This person kind of has, like, two times that she came out. So it says, all right, so the first time my parents found my Facebook page. So on my Facebook, I posted about being pansexual and stuff a lot. And also my ex-boyfriend's relationship post with me was on there too. So basically they found that. Also the hella gay pictures I posted, which I'm like, are you from Northern California?
Yes!
Hella gay. Hella gay pictures I posted, and they were all like quiet and scary and brought me into their room. And they were like, can you explain this? And show me my Facebook page with my hella gay pics and whatnot.
Love it. I love the way that that's stated.
I know.
My hella gay pics and whatnot is the best.
Just the sense of humor in it is amazing. And I was trying to lie my way out of it. I was like, oh, somebody else uses my Facebook page, in parentheses, 10 out of 10, best lie.
I really want to know, like, how old she was at this time, because that's a lie that I would have told in high school. Like,
yeah, for
don't
sure.
Don't buy this.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It wasn't working, and they were just getting louder. My mom told me, and this is an exact quote, you dressed like one of those gay freaks. I know, it hurts.
Oh, God, yeah, that hurts my soul.
Yeah. So anyways, they yelled at me for like an hour, and I was crying and stuff, and it really sucked. I told them it wasn't something I could control, and that it was just who I am, and they told me there was a hormone imbalance, and that I needed to pray to Jesus to make that good gay juice stop flowing.
Oh.
I want to know where this person is from so bad. They took me to what they thought was a conversion therapist, because she was Christian. Parentheses. I don't know their thinking. They're super dumb, to be honest.
Oh my God.
But she wasn't a conversion therapist, so I was fine. And the second time was in an urgent care ward / youth mental health facility, and it was a lot nicer. So when I first got there, I had everyone call me by my dead name. They're using dead name again. Now I
finally
know.
There we go. Now we know.
Because I wasn't ready to come out as a girl yet, but let the staff know I was trans, and they were really nice and understanding. So anyways, the people there were super nice, but the other kids didn't know I was trans. Okay, so side note, when we'd get hot cocoa and stuff, they'd come in little styrofoam cups with our names on them. So up until then, mine said my dead name. One day, I let the staff know that I wanted to be called Alice from then on. So the next time I got some hot cocoa, it said Alice.
Oh my God.
I know. And one of the girls asked if that was my name, and I said, yeah. And she said, it suits you.
Aww.
And it was just this really beautiful moment. So them's my stories.
Oh my God. That
I love. And by the way, I asked if it was okay for me to use Alice in that, and they said yes.
That is so, like, that just, that story just took me on a roller coaster of, like,
of
one extreme
anger,
to the next.
Horror to, like, what a beautiful to, moment.
Yeah, like, I'm so happy that she had that at yeah. the end there, you know, like, that she had people around her who ended up really being supportive when she didn't have that kind of support system at home.
Yeah, especially in some place like a treatment facility.
Yeah.
That's something that I don't personally have experience with, but I have experience with people who I'd been in those facilities with who mm-hmm. were dealing with their homosexuality or their
And that's a best case
gender.
Scenario.
Yeah, and it's and that is a usually a great place because we're all kind of dealing with our own shit, and we all kind of understand that like people have things that they're going through that if you're going to come out then it's like it's exciting because that means that's like a breakthrough. It's like
yeah.
you're finally kind of being able to deal with some of your mental health issues that were maybe coming with your parents not being
yeah.
supportive.
Yeah.
You know?
And
so,
I really hope that you are in a really good place now, regardless of whether or not your parents have come on board or not.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate you being able to share with us kind of both of those experiences.
Exactly.
Because how scary, like, truly how scary to...
I can't imagine being in that room with your parents yelling at you for being who you are.
I mean, and then them sending you off somewhere, because, like, that is how it would feel like, that is what it would feel like, is to have them send you off somewhere because something was wrong with you.
Saying it's a hormone imbalance.
Right, they're trying to, like, you know, manipulate and fix in you is so sad.
It just, it almost, in my mind, I'm just like, wow, like, this should be so outdated. Like,
it seems
the terminology and everything, it's just like, wait, this still fucking happens?
But
it's crazy.
But it's not, and it does.
It's not at all outdated. And, I hope that, you know, wherever you are, that you have people in your life who are supportive. This is a newer listener. I'm really happy that you started listening to us. I hope we can be a sense of support for you, you know, on a weekly basis. And,
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. So this is from a male listener, I believe. Well, I realized that I liked guys in sixth grade, and before that, I had never realized I could. This led to 3.5 years of trying to convince myself I wasn't because I fear my mother. Finally, in ninth grade, I told one of my best friends. I was breaking down in tears, and she said, "I know." She loved me for who I was, and I cried of happiness. Now, all my friends know, and they are so supportive and loving towards me and treat me normal, which means so much to me. My mother said that if I ever came out, she would look into getting me some help because, quote, "I am too young to have those thoughts." My dad used to heavily imply that he thought that gays, including his brother, were pedophiles.
Mm.
His brother has other issues, so that may have driven that thought.
Yeah.
He seems to have changed slightly. This year, I will start my senior year of high school in Alabama, where I have always been. While there are only 2 other gay guys in my high school, I no longer feel as much like I have to hide me. This is what is so important. My school is starting a GSA this year, and I hope it will allow other kids to feel safe like I do. So far, that is my story, and the day will come that I will have to tell my parents, but I do not look forward to it. That is on the one hand, I'm so grateful that our younger generation, our Generation Z, even in, you know, somewhere that might
Alabama.
Be, yeah. I mean, and not to say that Alabama is, you know, primitive in any way, but, like, to say that somewhere with, I just came back from Missouri, like, somewhere with deep, probably very Christian values in the South that has not always been super welcoming and opening and progressive, that the younger generation in his high school is really, like, loving and accepting of him, and he has a safe place to be. On the other hand, again, I love my parents so much, and the idea of disappointing them has haunted me my whole life.
Right.
And so...
Well, and the fact that confuses me is that he's saying his dad said, if you ever come out, we're going to have to, like, do some... Like, why... They must suspect it. And they're going out of their way to say, to suppress it. And kind of like, they probably know, you know what I mean? And they're just like, well, you better not ever come out.
Yeah,
like, if
we
you
don't
are this
know.
Way, yeah, it's like a very don't ask, don't tell. But I gotta say, you're a senior in high school. You're going into your senior year. It gets better, man. It gets better.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a very supportive friend group. I always had very supportive parents. I've never been through anything exactly like you're going through, but I've had times in my life where I've felt like I didn't fit in and that I didn't feel accepted. And once you're out of high school and you go off into the world and go to college, you're not around your parents, it's like, that is such a freeing, amazing time because you get to, like, act up and make mistakes and
figure
do stupid
it out.
Shit.
Just figure out who you are.
Yeah, the more mistakes you make, the more you figure yourself out, you know what I mean? And you're going to be able to be yourself and find even more of those people that fully accept you to the point where, you know, hopefully you even get to that point where it's like, it doesn't even matter your parents' initial reaction because you have such a strong support system behind you.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're away from home too, you are much more distant. You're not scared all the time. You're not worried about them finding out. You're just going to have that healthy distance that's going to be able to let you grow into this awesome
and
gay
you know
guy.
What?
Like, go for it, man.
I mean, and you know what? When they do find out, it won't be as scary for you whenever you're not. It's totally different whenever you're living in your parents' house and you rely on them for everything.
Yes, because you're scared if they're going to kick you out.
And you're not ready.
Are they not going to give you the same kind of like privileges, treatment, you know, things like that. Where when you're on your own, it's a very different experience.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you'll also be surprised. Like, for me, and I'm not trying to compare or conflate or any of those things, but, like, for me, whenever I was living at home, the idea of being kind of liberal or progressive or, you know, coming out as living with my partner and things like that that are very anti the values, quote unquote, that I was, like, raised up in.
Yeah.
Scared me a lot. Like, I didn't want to be different from my family, and like they're all very conservative
and
things like that.
And if that's your only experience that you have,
right? And I didn't want to have different views than them because I thought that that would make them ashamed of me. And I will say, having just come home, that I do not share the same, like, you know, definitely not the same like political views or any of that with my family, but. That a lot of that fear that I had about them not like loving me anymore or wanting, you know, or not being understanding of any of that, was not true. Like, they understand entirely that I don't see eye to eye with them, and they accept me and still love me and tell me that they're proud of me, and like that, still that means a whole lot.
I think that shows a testament to how well they raised you, too, because you are a fully realized human being.
Right.
You have your own thoughts and feelings and emotions. You aren't just going with things because you think that's what people expect of you. Mm-hmm. And if I were a parent, to me, that's the best response that I could get from a child. Yeah. I raised you well enough to be able to stand on your own two feet and to
live your
fight
own
for
life,
what you believe in and
draw
to live
on
your life.
Experience.
Yeah.
And so I cannot say, listener, that that will be your experience with your mom and dad. I can't say that because I don't know them and I don't know what their response will be. But I can say that there is always hope that perhaps when you're outside of it and you're an adult and you're living your life, your parents will be okay.
Like, Take a trip to West Hollywood.
Yes.
Stay here for
a couple weeks.
Call us.
We will come out and party with you because West Hollywood is the best.
And then you'll be like, I'm good. I'm going to stay here.
Yeah, I'll just stay in California.
This is going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay.
I'll just hang out with Keegan and Madigan.
It's fine. And I'll just live in West Hollywood.
Shit will be fine.
Shit will be totally fine. Where there's rainbow flags everywhere and happiest place on earth, man. They think it's
cheap
Disney
drinks.
World. Yeah, Hamburger Mary's. Oh my God, go to
drag
Hamburger
queen
Mary's.
Bingo.
Yes.
The best.
Oh my God, that drag queen had the biggest boobs I've ever seen in my
Dude.
Life. I have a picture
very
of
impressed.
Me and my mom, and they are like, boom, boom.
It is impressive. It truly is, like, much bigger than mine.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, are you kidding me? Size of my head, if not bigger. I was like, oh, my God. It's like, I can't go too close. Okay. All right. Next one. All right. This one is actually from a friend of mine, and I did ask some questions as well, so there's like a little interjection of me like
some
asking
follow-ups.
Something specific. So they say, I was 14 when I first came out to my mom. I was in the 8th grade and had my first girlfriend. This was the era of Facebook and sharing the family computer. So I was chatting away with the lovely missus when suddenly my dad wanted to go through my messages. No type of trust. I panicked, and I took my mom to the room. There I told her, and she said she was okay with it. She said she has always known. When I came out to my dad, I was 18, which I'm pretty sure they're only, like, 18. Like, they're young. I was getting pretty serious with this girl. She ended up cheating on me.
Ugh.
Yeah, right? I wanted to introduce her to my dad. So one day, when we went furniture shopping, I told him I had to tell him something, and he just guessed it. He said he didn't care as long as I furthered my education and was able to provide for myself. Since then, he's been supporting me and even went to Pride this year without me.
Oh!
Yeah, yeah. So this person is going through a transition as well. And so I said, that's amazing. What do you think has been the most rewarding part of this journey and the most challenging? Asking about going on testosterone and things like that. And they said, Best part is being myself and experiencing the deepening of my voice. The worst part is the acne. And then, like, eyes rolling in the back of their head, laughing so hard I'm crying. So, I seeked this person out?
Sought.
Mm-hmm. I sought this person out because I met them when I was on set. And we did this really cool rape kit commercial where mm-hmm. we were up in, like, a warehouse.
I've seen that commercial.
I'm in
yes.
it.
Yes.
I'm one of the blurry faces in the background. And so we are supposed to be acting kind of like mannequins. And we were way up high. We were probably a good 10 feet off the ground and, like, harnessed in and everything. And we were on set for, like, 12 hours. So I was with this person the whole day, like, trapped, basically. Mm-hmm. And, like, we became friends. And they're just so lovely, and I haven't seen them very often, but we've become great friends, and it's so much fun for me, because when I first met them, I was like, oh my god, because I kind of had a feeling where I was like, do I ask what pronouns to use? Like, I just was very, like,
aware.
Scared of saying the wrong yeah. thing. And so when I saw that they, like, come out and were, you know, going on testosterone, I was just like, yes, this person is being who they are.
I had a similar experience with someone that I knew from home who, you know, growing up, I knew them as a girl. And then as time went on, I saw that the name changed on social media, you know, from a traditionally female name to a more masculine name, and yeah. you know, the hair got shorter, and then I saw, you know, a mustache coming in, and I was like, I'm not sure what's happening here.
Yeah, and you don't want to
presume,
embarrass yourself or them,
right? And yeah. I don't want to presume. But then I saw during this Pride Month that he said in his on his Instagram that it was his, you know, T-versary of, like, when he started on testosterone. And when I was just home last week, I saw him at a event at the theater.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling very strange about, like, how emotional it makes me feel, because I gave him a hug when I saw him, and he said, like, how are you? And his voice was really low.
Yeah.
And it was so different from what I had known.
Yeah.
But I could also feel in him when I was hugging him that there was this, like, tentativeness about almost, like, awkwardness because he hadn't seen me.
Yeah.
You know, last time I saw him was before. And
yeah.
that there was this almost kind of, like, weirdness about him wanting
to... How is she going to react?
Yeah, about him almost yeah. wanting, like, to get away really fast.
Yeah.
And I really wish I could go back and say, like... I don't know what I would say, because I wouldn't want to, like, bring it up or make it weird, but I would right. want to, like, let them know in some way that, like, this is fine. Like, I'm yeah. happy for you.
I just have to say, Keegan, like, is totally trying not to cry right
no,
now.
No, because I'm...
Your eyes are really misty.
I know,
it's
because,
sweet.
Like, I'm happy.
No, it's sweet.
Because he seems happy.
Yeah.
And, like, you should be able to do whatever makes you happy, and it makes me sad whenever you feel like you need to, like, hide that or run away or, like, make yourself smaller.
But you never know. And
right.
the trans community, they are the ones that have to be concerned about being targeted. You know,
yeah.
they are really the minority in that community. And I asked my friend if they were going to be keeping their dead name.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, which I think is really cool. They were like, I love my name. I'm not going to change it.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and
okay,
I think
cool.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool too. I mean, I just really feel like...
I just want to make sure that I was, like,
you
not calling them
the
by
right
the wrong
thing.
Name. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I think, like, for me, so much of this is so, like, it's so just, like, let people live. Like, even if for whatever reason you're just like, I don't know that I believe that this is true, or I believe that you're just, like, making things up,
oh,
whatever,
man.
Why does it... Why
it doesn't
does it
change
your life,
life yeah.
at all?
Okay,
like,
do you know who Jordan Peterson is?
No.
Is that his name, Jordan Peterson? Yes. So Chris told me about him. He's a psychologist, and he's like, you watch Big Bang Theory, right?
Yeah.
He's like Sheldon Cooper, where when he talks, he just, like, knows he's smarter than you.
Yeah.
And I fucking hate that
I
in
hate
people.
That too. That's the worst.
And I'm
trait
watching
in a
this guy. So he had this big controversy because he refused to call one of his students by, like, Z or Zer or Zim. I don't know those words, so don't come at me. Like, but it was something like that. And he was like, well, the government's trying to get me to say these certain blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, just if that person wants you to call them that, what does it matter? Yeah. It's like me saying, can you call me Maddie instead? It's a preference. Like, it's like,
what,
just...
What difference does that really make to your day-to-day life? It makes no difference.
Yeah.
If somebody asks you to be called by a pronoun, or they say, like, I like to be referred to as they or them, it might take you a little while just from instinctual, like, memory.
Yeah, we catch ourselves all the time.
Right, like, to stop yourself. But the point is, like, you should try, because why not? Because why does it affect your life any differently? It doesn't affect you at all, but it could mean the world to the person you're talking to.
Yeah.
So why not do
it? And that's the thing, is that, like, Chris is like, well, but he makes, like, some good points on other stuff.
Sure.
Like, I guess, I'm sure he's a very smart guy. I started watching videos and I was getting angry, so I had to stop.
I'm sure, but he is smart in other ways.
I'm sure he is, and I'm sure that he makes a lot of good points on certain things. But I just feel like I can't connect with those people that don't seem to have any empathy.
Right, that's
the
thing.
They scare me. I'm like, you're too intellectual, you're too... Because you don't think about another person.
Right.
And it could mean the world to somebody who's taking your class, that you see them and understand them. Like, that's... Why not make somebody's day?
Exactly.
I don't get it.
And the thing is, like...
For your own selfish...
Yeah, it's for your comfort. Because no one is saying it's super easy. Like, this person that I was just talking about, when I see them, like, my instinct is to call them by the name that I knew them as. Mm-hmm. Because, like, that's human instinct.
Yeah, it's why you've known them.
But you have to stop and remind yourself that, like, this isn't about you. Mm-hmm. And if you slip up, that's fine, and you can apologize for that and move
correct
forward
yourself.
And correct yourself. But to intentionally do something that you know is probably going to be damaging to another person is not okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that we all just need to recognize that.
You need to watch his videos, because I really want to get your opinion on him.
Oh, God. Now I'm scared. Okay, so I've got this one here, and then I have one that my friend texted to me.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So this says, hi, Madigan and Keegan. I was very hesitant to write this email, as my coming out story is something that I never considered truly groundbreaking or significant. However, hearing you two talk about bisexuality and the bi erasure in the last episode, as well as my own realizations recently, have encouraged me to share. So she's talking about when we talked about Frida Kahlo and how that gets kind of swept under the rug. I now identify as a bisexual female, and I am very femme, but even from a young age, I knew I wasn't straight. During middle school, I often felt butterflies when hanging out with particular girlfriends, and during high school, I always joked that I just liked kissing, which is why I would kiss boys and girls.
Yeah. Which, honestly, like, I feel like for some people, that can be true.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
I think that's why it's an easy out.
It is. It's super easy.
Yeah.
Like, I think I've made out with all of my girlfriends during some truth or dare, or I taught my friend how to kiss.
And I feel like that's so much a part of our culture, too,
right,
where we're like, it's not that weird if
it's
girls
more,
kiss each other.
Yeah, it's more acceptable for girls.
Yeah.
But, like, I never felt anything. You know what I mean? That's
right.
The difference. I never felt anything
exactly.
with them that
and
was
that's
more
how
than friendship.
Yeah, that's how you know that, like, you're you and, like, you know, they're them.
So I can totally see why she would say that and have people be like, okay, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah,
it's because totally. It's fun to kiss people.
It guys. Is.
It's fun.
It is. It's a good time. It wasn't until college when I started sexual relationships with women and came out as a bisexual to my friends. It wasn't very hard to come out to my college friends because I had always been clear about my sexuality being somewhat fluid. But the real challenge came when I had to tell my parents. I have always been really honest and open with my parents, so having them not know this large part of me felt like a lie. I was so anxious about it that I put it off for years and constantly made excuses. For example, I would, quote, tell them when I had a girlfriend or when it became necessary, but I wasn't sure why I was so scared because my parents always told me and my younger brothers that they would love us no matter what and that being gay wasn't an issue. During my senior year of college, I developed a huge crush on a girl that I'd been hooking up with for a few months, and I knew that I couldn't keep lying to my parents much longer. It was a Friday when I told my mom. Like I mentioned, we have always been really close, and I felt like I could tell her anything. We were watching a show together and catching up, as I had just come home from school for Easter weekend. I felt a lump in my throat as I said, Mom, I have to tell you something. I'm bisexual. I'll never forget the look she gave me. She scoffed in disgust. "Really?" she said. "How would you even know?" I felt anxiety wash into my stomach and up to my chest like a wave. The rest of the conversation was both memorable and a blur, but included comments like, "This is probably just a phase," and "You're just confused," and "You can appreciate a girl being pretty without being sexually attracted to her." Additionally, there were many implications that bisexuality wasn't real, and I have to pick a side. God, so awful.
Can I say something really quick?
Yes, of course.
Because when people say things like that, like, just because you think a girl is pretty doesn't mean you're sexually attracted. It sounds like her mom trying to convince herself of something. I'm not projecting or saying that your mom is bisexual in any way, but it sounds so rehearsed to the point where she's said those things to herself.
I mean, and it also feels
or
very...
heard someone say that before, because that's super, to me, that's very, like... No, you just think that girl's pretty. You're not into her. You just think she's pretty. It's like something that you would tell yourself,
to
you
me,
know?
To me, where my mind went is that it's like so diminishing that,
oh,
you
so
think
diminishing.
That you think being attracted to someone is limited to the way they look, male or
yeah,
female.
Yeah, true.
To me, it's so like that's not what. Like, when you are not just attracted physically to a man, but like when you are attracted in a way that like I could be in a relationship
to another
with that
person. Yeah.
You are not just attracted to the way they look, you're attracted to their personality, you're
right.
attracted to them sexually, you are interested in them on a deeper level, so
right.
to kind of, like, dissolve it all down to being like, well, you can think she's pretty without being attracted to her, is like,
I'm not, that's, maybe you're not just into
maybe you're not
pretty.
Just into the fact that
yeah.
she's pretty, maybe, like, you like her as a person and you could see yourself building a life with that person.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I was just telling Chris in the car, we had a long car ride, where I was saying, it's so weird because in, like, celebrity crushes and stuff, I find myself either being attracted to...
More women?
No, well, yes. Actually, yes. But also, Jason Segel.
Yeah.
All the way down to the guy that plays Aquaman, who's in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes.
Those are my two types. That's
yeah.
it. My boyfriend is so fucking pretty.
Yeah.
He is neither of those types. He's the most clean-cut person I've ever dated, yet I'm still totally, like, into him and attracted to him.
I mean, I can say, like, I don't even think I have a type. I think that there's, like, I think you can be attracted to all kinds of things.
True.
And, like, interested in so many things about any given person. Like,
right.
you can like a person, you can find yourself being really into a person that you don't even think is that physically, maybe you didn't think was that physically attractive at first. You
oh,
know
yeah.
what I mean?
Oh, like, I mean, this is probably really mean, but I used to say that I was into guys that were kind of funny looking, and not funny looking like they're ugly. Funny looking as in there's something about them that isn't traditionally
like
deemed
an Adam
as attractive.
Driver style.
Yes, or
yeah.
Jason Segel, or like,
yeah.
you know, the whole dad bod thing before the dad bod thing was hot. To me, I was like kind of into that, where that person doesn't just look like the Zac Efron, Ryan Gosling
yeah.
that everybody sees.
So to dissolve it all to being like, you just think girls are pretty. It's like, I'm straight as an arrow, truly, devastatingly straight, and I think girls are pretty.
Yeah.
And I think I admire girls, like, all the time. Like,
I feel like
time.
I admire my fellow women more than I admire
Me too.
Other men.
Me too.
I will find myself staring at women
same.
All the time where I don't stare at men.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
same.
Like, what is she wearing? What
she
is she
looks,
doing?
She's so beautiful.
What does she do for a living? What are her likes and dislikes?
I
want to
be her friend.
What is
yeah.
she? Let's hang out.
I feel like that all the time.
Yep.
Okay, back to
the
story.
Story.
So sorry. So sorry we got off track with your story. So, to recap, she has just come out to her mom, and her mom is saying all these awful things. I locked myself in my room and cried for hours. At the time, I wasn't sure why it hurt so badly. It's not like she said anything that I hadn't heard before. But as I've grown up, I've realized that having my own internalized biphobia spouted back at me by my own mother was one of my worst fears.
Yeah.
For many years, I have hated being bisexual because I feel like I don't belong in the LGBT+ community. I really did feel like I needed to just pick a side, and I can't, which
yeah.
just sparked more cognitive dissonance. I felt like my sexuality would never be taken seriously because I am just, quote, going through a phase. I felt like I would be seen as someone who was just sexually promiscuous. In a lot of ways, I still face these stereotypes and discomfort with my own sexuality each day. However, I am learning self-affirmation and realizing I don't need to justify how I feel to anyone but myself, and that how I feel is valid. I am thrilled to see that now many more people, including celebrities, are coming out as bisexual and celebrating their sexuality. I am also happy to surround myself with a great system of friends and a partner who accepts me for me. I am hoping that this email helps other people that may feel some shame or unease about their bisexuality. You are valid, and you belong in and are a great asset to the community. Mm-hmm. It is people like you that encourage me to be who I am. I'm sorry that this is so long-winded, but I want to finish with the fact that I love the podcast. Keep up the amazing work, Keegan and Madigan, forever raging M. So wonderful. And before we start, talk about her letter, she did have a postscript here. She said, P.S. Madigan, I dated a guy for nearly 3 years and is still one of my best friends. He is named Chris, and he grew up in the Bronx. I'm also fully recovered from anorexia, 4 years going strong, so the parallels in our lives make me laugh sometimes. Just thought I would share.
I loved that when I read it, and I was like, what part of the Bronx? How old, like, I just started, I
maybe
was like...
Maybe they know each other.
I was like, sorry. She was like, maybe they do know each
maybe
other.
Maybe it's the same Chris. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I found that really funny. And I think, and our names both start with M.
Yeah.
What? Crazy. Yes.
But I really... I am so happy that you wrote in because I feel like what you had to say was really, really, really important in feeling like people in the bi community or the pansexual community are...
I feel like asexual, too. That's something that we don't talk about a lot.
You know what? But we should have an episode on asexuality.
We should, because I feel like that's another thing where people just don't understand you not being attracted to anybody at all, and sometimes we'll misuse the word as just like when you're not having sex, you're like, oh, I'm asexual right now. It's like,
I feel like it's really important to establish that that is valid.
Yes.
Like, you being you is valid, it's important, and it's really important that you're accepted into these communities.
Yeah.
And that you feel like you have a place to be. Because I remember watching, this is not about bisexuality, but I remember watching a documentary about asexuality, and they felt ostracized from even the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. you know, where...
Because they're not sexual.
Because
it's not about
sexual.
Sexuality. It's the other way. Yeah.
But I think that that is... I think it's really important to say, like... whatever feelings you have are valid, and they have a place. And
you're still very much a human being
and
are still a part of the human experience.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you're not sexually attracted to anybody, that you feel like you are not participating in the human community. And something that she said about bisexuality, where she felt that people would see it as being promiscuous, I see a lot, where it's like, oh, they're just being greedy. They're being greedy.
Yeah, I mean, and
I think... it's such an unfair thing to say, because, you know, a straight girl could sleep with a bunch of guys, and, she'll be called a slut and other horrible things that are,
unfair.
Unfair. But there is a different... narrative there than mm-hmm. there is if you're sleeping with men and women.
Well, I think a big part of it, like, I was recently, there was a song, I can't remember if it was Rita Ora or someone put out a song recently that had to do with, like, making out with women. And the way that it was framed, or even, like, you know, Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl.
Yeah.
Like, all of these songs are framed very much through the male gaze.
Yes.
And a lot of, I know, a good friend of mine who is a lesbian, we had a conversation once about porn, like lesbian porn.
Oh my God.
And she was like, lesbian porn. She's like, lesbian porn in the sense that you'll find on something like Pornhub is not really lesbian porn. It's two women acting for the sake of men, like the men around them. And I think that that's a really important thing to acknowledge, too.
Yeah.
Like they it's become framed as this thing that's like, you're promiscuous, because it's become framed as, well, women only make out with other women for the sake of the men around them.
Yeah.
Like, to be validated by the men around them.
Yeah.
So I think that that is something, as a society, that we need to grapple with and kind of
definitely
overcome. Especially for women. I know that there are bi men, too, which I would love to talk to a bi man.
Oh, I'm sure there's so many, like, masculinity issues with that.
Yeah, where, like, people will think that you're, like, less of a man because you also are interested in men. And, like, I really think there's a lot societally that we need to deal with when it comes to...
I feel like even if you are a bi man and you are with a woman, like, I feel like there are a lot of women out there that would even feel very... wrong.
They wouldn't
about
like
that.
It. Yeah, I agree.
It
I think
would
that
question
there's a lot
their
of
masculinity.
People. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people. I think there's a long way to go on both ends of that spectrum. So,
for real.
So thank you so much for writing into us.
I have one more story.
Yes, you tell yours and then I'll tell mine.
Finish off with yours. All right. Hi, girls. I live in South America, and I wanted to share my coming out story. But first, I have to say that I love your podcast. Oh, my God. Thank you.
Thank you.
I love your podcast so much, and it's so entertaining and yet informative. I really appreciate all the effort you guys put into it. Even though I don't admit it, I've always been attracted to girls. But since I was also attracted to boys, I thought it was something temporary, something that will pass, that I shouldn't think about it, and that I should just sweep it under the rug. Well, there's been 21 years, and it didn't go away, so clearly past me was wrong. I mean, yeah, sounds about right. 2016 was the first time that I officially said that I'm attracted to women. I told a group of close friends that they were really, and they were really supportive, though one of them was adamant that being bisexual was a transition stage mm-hmm. until I found a lifelong partner. Does this, do we see a trend starting?
I see a trend.
Do we see, okay. And depending on their gender, that would tell me if I'm either gay or straight. This is not a Cosmo quiz, people.
Right. I mean, I look at that. It's like wherever you happen to land means that yeah. you're gay or straight. It's just like, no.
This isn't Yahtzee.
That's not
this isn't Candyland.
That's not how any of this works.
You don't land on Candy Cane Lane and just automatically...
You're right. Like, I guess I'm a candy cane person now. That's where I ended up.
Thanks, because I didn't know where I was going to end that metaphor, so thank you. All right. My best friend and I told her that it doesn't work like that, but she was not having it. And I didn't want to start a discussion that moment, so I let it pass. Funny to say that for various reasons, we don't get along that much with her.
I bet.
Gee, I wonder why. She sounds great. All right, for a time, I stuck with the term bisexual, but after researching and learning more about the LGBTQ+ issues, I found the term pansexual, and it clicked so fast for me. I always included non-binary people under the term bisexual, because it is indeed attraction to both men and women and those in the gender spectrum. However, since I'm most attracted to non-binary or non-conforming genders, the prefix bi didn't work that well for me, since it explicitly creates a binary reality.
Mm-hmm.
On the contrary of the prefix pan, that includes the existence of more than two in its meaning itself. That meant that I had to tell my friends that my feelings haven't changed, only the label that I use. Using the label pansexual is not easy at all. In my country, there's not a lot of common knowledge about the gender spectrum. The majority of people can barely grasp trans identities. In their mindset, asking for people to understand genderqueer folks is asking too much. How do you explain to a person that you are attracted to someone that in their eyes doesn't even exist? I haven't come out to my mother yet. I'm taking the long process of slowly teaching LGBT 101 and trying to deconstruct her deep homophobia. She's making a slow but steady progress. Right now, I have the privilege of having an amazing girlfriend, which all of my friends and sister know and like. She also has an amazing family that support us a lot, which is something that is not common where we live, and I'm really grateful for that. Thank you, girls, so much for giving us the space to share our stories. Your podcast has livened up my hour-long curly hair detangling sessions.
Girl, I really...
lots of love from Uruguay.
I am actually, not to make this about me at all, but I am actually kind of surprised about how emotional all of these stories are making me feel.
I know!
I didn't think it was going to feel like this.
It's heavy. It's something that, you know, we can't relate to... word for word, exactly, but there's something...
Universal
about the feeling of not being accepted or not being able to put a word to the way you're feeling.
Yeah.
I think that's something that we struggle with a lot in our day-to-day lives, and that's why I think it's so important to state your emotions and what you're feeling, because it helps you learn and understand your feelings more and makes you sane.
Yeah.
So, hearing about this experience from... bi to pan is such an intellectual one
that
I'm like, holy shit, that's so...
But there is a difference.
There
you know?
Is, and it makes sense. Just the way that word, what that word means, what bi means, what pan means. And I feel like, again, pansexual is something that people tend to brush aside. There are celebrities that have come out
agreed.
As pansexual, but to me, that's
people
the one that makes
up.
The most sense.
Agreed.
Because you're attracted to... the person that you are with, no matter what gender they are,
right.
no matter what their sexuality is, it's not about me, you know, for me, it's like, it's not about me being, I'm heterosexual, I'm a whole, you know, I'm like, it's just, I've found somebody in my life that I don't love just because of what's between his legs. You know what I mean? Like, it's just about,
I love the person. I love who people. I'm spending my time with.
Exactly. Yeah, and the different kind of love that you have for somebody. So the fact that she was able to intellectually see the difference in bi and pan and be like, wow, this really makes sense for me. This clicks. And to be open about it with your friends and to, I mean, it's amazing that your girlfriend's family is so supportive too. I think it's amazing that you have that support system. And I don't know, it's just such a smart story to me. Like, she just seems so put together, you know?
Agreed. I agree. Yeah, I think it's really beautiful. I remember it was a few years ago that I first heard the term pansexual and I had never heard it before. And when I did a little research on it, I was just like, oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
We all have love for people in our lives of all across the spectrum in every kind of, like, gender, fluid.
Yeah. Why would it be different for your romantic life?
Right. I mean, and that is something to examine and to look at and to say, like, I think that that's the most beautiful thing that there could possibly be is just kind of, like, accepting people for who they are and not putting a boundary or a barrier on, like, where...
what your experiences are and who you share them with.
Or where your feelings go.
I mean, I feel like gender and sexuality are such a ginormous spectrum.
Yeah.
Ginormous. And you can be completely on one side of that spectrum. You know what I mean? You can be so gay that you could never think of yourself being with a... with another woman. And you can be so straight that you would never think of being with, you know, if you're a guy, never think of being with another man.
Yeah.
But yet there's this whole middle ground of space that you can live in.
And it's necessary.
And why limit yourself?
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's necessary. I think that there needs to be, I think that it is appropriate and right and obviously the way things are. So that's great. But, like, I think that it is necessary that there be people in the middle, like, all throughout the middle.
That's what I like about the word queer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just, you're not...
it's really all encompassing.
Anything in particular, you're just kind of... and it's funny because, honestly, like, I wonder sometimes that if I was single at this time in my life, who I would choose to have romantic relationships with. I've never been attracted to women. I've never had, like, a thing where I'm like, oh, I really want to be with this girl. But I have a lot of friends who have explored and who have done things, and I'm like, who am I to say, because I am such an open person, that I wouldn't about that more often. But now, you know, I don't really think about it because I'm with the person that I know that I want to spend my life with.
Yeah.
So I don't really have to think about it. Right. You know what I mean? So that's what I've always really loved, you know, I'm just queer. I'm on the spectrum somewhere in there, and I'm just gonna kind of be all encompassing and loving. Like, I think when, like, I know Rowan Blanchard came out as being queer and things like that.
And Janelle Monáe.
Yeah, and it's just great. It's a freeing, liberating kind of...
you're not limiting yourself to saying I'm experience. Only looking at these people. Like, I'm
looking at... and for me, I always, you know, I say I'm heterosexual because I've never found myself being attracted to any other gender or sexuality or anything like that, but I'm not limiting, and I'm not limiting to other people's experiences either.
Being single again, you don't close that door. It's
right.
Kind of
I'm not going to be like, nope, I only do this.
You're not going to push against it if you find yourself being romantically, like, attracted to someone of the same gender or on the spectrum somewhere.
And I just feel like it's because I'm fucking educated about this shit.
Of course.
Because you realize that it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
It's like all of this stuff one day is going to be in the past.
Yeah.
This coming out, this whole thing is going to be... I am who
and
I am.
It's not something to mourn or be sad about or anything. It's just
it's something
beautiful...
to celebrate and accept. You know, stop pushing these sexual stereotypes on children. Stop pushing these gender stereotypes on your children, because whoever they are, they're perfect.
Yeah,
they're
and perfect. It doesn't matter. It truly doesn't matter, and it doesn't affect
you at all.
It doesn't affect you at all.
Let people be who they are. Okay, Keegan.
All right, I have this final story that a friend of mine texted to me. It was so cute. She kept being like, am I too late to send a story? And I was like, no, you're good. And she's actually the one, do you remember whenever in a couple episodes ago, whenever I was just like, we should read coming out stories because my friend just posted one.
Oh,
that was like so sweet.
Yeah.
This is her. So, okay, here's her story.
She's the reason for this episode. Yes.
From an early age, I knew I wasn't straight, but growing up in Southwest Missouri made it hard to process those feelings. At the age of 8, I asked my mom if she'd love me if I married someone other than a man. Fast forward to when I was 19, I realized I couldn't hide my feelings for women forever, and I was ready to come out. I sat my mom down and immediately started crying uncontrollably. I finally told her I liked women, and she said, "That's it? Oh, baby, I've known. I thought, oh, you murdered someone." LOL. Then she held me until I calmed down. Coming out is hard, and your biggest fear tends to be not being accepted by those you love. I am so incredibly lucky my mom accepted me for who I am, but when I came out, I begged my mom not to tell my dad. In the next 8 years, I would date women but never really speak to my dad about it. Then, a few weeks ago, I decided Pride Month was the perfect time to come out to my dad.
Aww.
And she sent me this screenshot that of a text message.
Aww.
She said, here's the screenshot. "I know you've probably known forever, but I figured since it's Pride Month, I'd officially come out to you as pansexual.
No.
Thank you for never pushing this subject and questioning my sexuality. If there's anything I'm thankful for, it's that you always accepted her sister," I'm not gonna say her name, "and I, regardless of who we love. I've seen too many people abandoned by their parents because of this, and I'm happy you and Mom just rolled with it. I love you. My sister and I are lucky to have you as a dad." And he responded, "Thanks. Who am I to judge? Just be yourself, and I will always support your decision. Happy Pride Month. Love you, too."
Nugget.
Isn't that sweet? He wished her a happy Pride Month.
I love that.
Like, she was so scared of, like, how he would react.
I know. That's, like, my friend, too, where like, her dad went to, like, Pride by himself.
Yeah.
I mean, think that's so cool.
I mean, and that's what I mean when I go back to, like, I think the first story that we read for this episode where I say, like, your parents might surprise you. I think it was second episode, second story, actually.
Yeah.
Your parents could surprise you.
Like, yeah.
You're like, maybe they'll be terrible. Like, you don't know. I mean, it's possible. But there's also a possibility that you have to give them the space to kind of be cool about it.
Because
maybe they will be. You know, they could surprise you. She was so scared to tell her dad, and her dad ended up being so awesome.
I know. That's the thing, is that you never know how people are going to react, and I'm so glad that you had the reaction that you did. And I think that more often than not in this day and age, that's going to be the response that you're going to get.
I hope so. And you have to, more and more, that that's what it is.
Yeah, and you have to believe that your parents, even if they are homophobic in some way, when it comes to your own kid, I feel like there's a gear that sometimes shifts. Not in everybody, but I feel like sometimes when it's your own kid, you're just like, now I have to understand this because I love this person and I want to keep them in my life.
I've been tagging you, and we'll share it on our Instagram, but I tagged you today in that.
I haven't gotten to hear the video yet.
Oh,
I've only seen it.
It is so cute. Okay, so we'll post this on our Instagram. But there is this guy, and he is a YouTuber who does makeup.
Yeah.
And he is doing his makeup, and his makeup looks amazing.
Yeah.
And you can hear his dad go, "Oh my God, that looks like," he says that.
Hold up, I want to hear, I'm going to play it.
Yeah, you can play it if you want. I have watched this like 10 times, and it makes me smile.
Freaking awesome. Thank you. Damn. Shit. Thank you. I'm filming it, so. So
shit.
Awesome.
So his shit, man. That's yeah. So freaking. I was like, that's such a dude thing.
Yeah.
That's so freaking awesome. Shit.
His dad comes. It's so cute. We're gonna post it. His dad comes in and goes. He's doing his makeup, right, and it looks bomb.
Yeah.
And his dad comes in. You can hear him, and he goes, "Dude, that is so freaking awesome. Damn, that looks great." And and you can see it in his face where he takes a second where he goes like, "Thank you." And then you can see him kind of like get a little giggly and like,
yeah,
giddy.
Like, oh my God.
Because it's so fucking sweet.
Yeah.
That like his dad is so supportive of his makeup skills that like, it warms my heart every time I watch
yeah.
it. It makes me feel so good. So, you know, I have to say to everyone who wrote into us, thank you. Like, thank you for broadening our horizons and being so vulnerable and
for
open.
Making us a part of this month.
Yeah. Like it feels so, I feel so honored and
yes.
like it feels so special. This is a Pride Month that I will never forget.
I think this is the first time that I felt like I've participated in some way.
Yeah.
And I encourage the people around us to learn more about their friends' experiences and about strangers' experiences and learning more about this community, because it starts to make it less about a us and them situation and more about
us. Yeah.
You know, it's just we are
all
one.
Situation.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's been my biggest takeaway.
Yeah.
Is that this is just a human experience that I now feel like I am involved in.
Yeah.
Not really a part but involved in.
I think the first post that we posted to our Instagram this Pride Month was the one where we said, if you are dealing with unsupportive family this Pride Month, like, congratulations, like, I'm your family now.
I'm your mom.
And I'm going to take care of you. And so I think take that into the future. And if you see somebody struggling and you see somebody who maybe is dealing with an unsupportive either family situation or societal situation.
Yeah.
Be family for that person, because it is so hard.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how hard it is to have to maybe possibly go against something that is maybe deeply ingrained in your family's, the way that your family operates, and how hard that is. So if you see somebody struggling, be family for that person, because they need you.
Yeah. Don't question. I think that's a big thing too, is that when somebody reaches out to you and comes out to you, don't question them. Don't, you know, don't use that stereotypical, oh, it's a phase or things like that. Just accept. Just listen to what they have to say, and you don't have to say anything because it's not about you.
And where they end up is where they end up. Yeah. And if, you know, they end up back around, then that's what it
that's
is.
That's it.
But
it's all good.
None of that is up to you.
Nope.
And it's not your place to question that, and why would you? Because it really has nothing to do with you.
Yep.
The only thing that matters, I saw a great, as like, this is going to out me as like a little bit of a nerd, but like I saw a great like Star Trek meme that was like, it was one Klingon greeting someone else, and he hugged her, and he said her name, and he said, you know, so-and-so, my old friend, and then she looked at him and said, my name is such-and-such now, and he said, such and such, my old friend.
Oh.
And, like, that is how we should greet each other.
Yes.
It should just be like, if you come to me and tell me that you are someone else, or, like, your name is different, or you identify differently, you're still my old friend.
Yes!
And none of that matters at all.
We are family. I got all my sisters with... Okay, I'm
And that's all you can do, because we're going to get sued if we go further than that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Guys, happy Pride Month, and thank you for making it so wonderful.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Thank you for including us in it, and we hope we did you justice in this episode and this month, and we will definitely be continuing our education into the LGBTQ community.
Of course. Always learning, always growing.
Always, forever. And thank you for people who gently pushed us in directions and educated us and helped
Completely.
Us learn.
Your kindness and your understanding with us is what makes all of the difference in our lives and makes our job better.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to be offending anybody. We don't want to be excluding anybody.
Yeah.
So your information and sharing with us has been so meaningful. And thank you.
Yes.
So before we sign off, I want to say, go on iTunes, rate and review us. We got another new review today, and Keegan
awesome.
And I get so excited. Also, we hit 10,000 downloads.
I know!
That's so cool.
That's
I'm so
great.
Excited. And we've had so many great new listeners that have reached out to us. It really means the world to us. Tell your friends about us. Tell your family about us. Anyone that you think could use the support or would be interested in it.
We've got stickers coming soon.
We do. I posted them on Instagram today, so check them out. Our Instagram is at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. If you want to send us a sister solidarity story,
or even continue to send us your coming out stories,
we'll share those as well.
Yeah, we'll collect those and do another episode at some point.
Yeah, or just really, as we say, for those of the new listeners who aren't familiar with what our sister solidarity stories are, you know, feel free to send us anything. A sister solidarity story can be from, you know, we read one where someone left a post-it on the bathroom saying we're out of toilet paper.
Yeah.
All the way to, you know, your girlfriend helping you with a breakup, or it can even be another man doing a very feminist thing supporting you. So it's not limiting at all. And we just want to hear from you guys, because that's the whole point of this, is the community that we're creating.
Absolutely.
So send us anything that you want. You can DM us on Instagram, or feel free to email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. If you want to send us a tweet, our Twitter is YANF, YANF podcast. We don't use it a lot, but if you send them to us, we'll get a notification.
But you know what? We got like 10 new followers.
That's awesome. So I love
it. It's been good.
Yeah.
And I do check it every day. So
yeah, I check it when there's notifications and I get emails. So I just don't post because I hate Twitter.
Same.
Yeah, it's
a problem.
We have a Facebook group that really isn't very active, but I'd like for it to be more active. And that is, what is it? It's
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
Does it say discussion podcast group or anything like that?
Podcast. Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist Podcast.
Okay, yeah, look that up, what she said. anything else you need to know?
I think that's it.
Oh, listen to us on Radio Public.
Oh, yeah. Listen on Radio Public.
You can pretty much listen to us wherever. We had someone be like, can I find you on Spotify? Yes, we're on Spotify. We're on iHeart. We're on
every
Stitcher.
Every platform, just
pretty
about.
Much anywhere that you could ever listen to a podcast, you'll find us.
Yeah.
So, but if you listen to us on Radio Public, it helps us out by giving us money. very little money, but you know what? Everybody helps. So, with that being said, we encourage you
to rage on. Bye.
Laters.